Hello, this is Chuck Stevens, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading from the January 7th issue of the Olean Times-Herald here on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. The work on the Fire Training Center, Franchot Park, is mulled. Improving fire training and park facilities are expected to continue this year during discussions by the Common Council Committee on Tuesday. Fire Chief Eric Moradin reported that firefighters have helped make improvements at the city's fire training center on Gargoyle Road. While some early work was done by contractors, firefighters have provided most of the labor so far, removing an old fire escape and improving safety conditions at the site so it can continue to be used. Metal roofing for Elmore Hall, the main building on the site, has been acquired, and it will be done in-house, the chief added. However, a full renovation of the facility is expected to cost between $500,000 and $1 million, the chief said. There are some substantial costs to getting everything back up to what it was, Moran said, with quotes of over $70,000 just to replace fencing around the site. Sonia McCall, a Democrat from Ward 4, said the discussions of getting the facility back in shape and then renting it out to other fire agencies for training could help offset the costs at the Gargoyle Road facility. Moran concurred and added that most departments currently go to Salamanca for training at that city's facility. Council President Vernon Robinson Jr., an independent from Ward 6, asked if the city has been able to get other fire departments to help out with the work, either with money or in-kind work. The volunteer fire departments are struggling to just answer calls and get the required training, Moran said, but he would reach out again to see if they can help. Junior Bennion, Republican from Ward 1, said the city can look for grant options to continue the work. If we can put some more back in, the capital fund, see if we can find some outside sources and use it as a match, Bennion said. The amount to be put in is expected to be discussed during budget negotiations later this winter. The budget is due from Mayor Amy Sherburn on February 15th, and final approval by the Common Council must be done before April 15th for a June 1st fiscal year start. At Franchot Park, DPW Director James Sprague noted that some of the work with existing funds can be done after having discussions with park staff. I think there's three things we can address readily, Sprague said, during resealing the basketball court, trail maintenance, and playground safety enhancements. Additional work will need more planning, such as reconstruction of Franchot Boulevard and the main parking lot, a proposed park, lighting upgrades, and removal of unused lighting for the horseshoe pits and basketball court, and roof repairs on the pavilions as well. He also noted that some of the city improvements like Franchot Boulevard and the South 4th Street wastewater lift station are on the levee property, and he needs clarification on the legal status before moving forward. He also suggested taking a look at a previous plan for a new Northern Park entrance on the 200 block where two dilapidated homes were demolished by the city. The current entryway off of West Green Street is a narrow fenced-in area between two homes, which is not ideal from a public safety perspective. He said he would speak to the city's police department on lighting and entry safety concerns before bringing a proposal to the council. Dr. Nita Asanai, who expanded the Olean area cancer treatment, is retiring after 34 years of treating cancer patients in the Twin Tiers and developing facilities to help patients closer to home for treatment in Olean and Wellsville. Dr. Nita Asanai has retired. A highly respected oncologist who opened her practice in Olean in 2003. She joined UR's Medicine's Wilmot Cancer Institute as an associate professor of clinical medicine on May 2019, bringing her expertise in medical oncology and hematology. Sonai was credited by Jones Memorial Hospital officials for working tirelessly with the team at Wilmot and UR Medicine and to bring the Wilmot Cancer Institute to our region. We are deeply grateful for Dr. Sonai's years of dedicated service to our hospital and the patients we serve, Brenda Mungzabo, Vice President for Specialty Services at JMH. Dr. Sonai has been a trusted physician and colleague to many. Her contributions will have a lasting impact on the hospital and the community, and we wish her the best in retirement. Sonai has served patients in Cattaraugus and Allegheny counties in New York, as well as the northern tier of Pennsylvania, culminating in the ribbon cutting of a new oncology and infusion center in Wellsville in 2025. Sonai and her staff have provided medical oncology and chemotherapy infusion services, treating all types of cancers and working closely with the team of subspecialists at Wilmot Cancer Institute to provide additional access to the clinical trials and support services. In 2006, Sonai opened Southern Tier Cancer Care in Olean, a state-of-the-art cancer treatment clinic at 328 West Delaware Avenue, in a building that used to be a warehouse. In June 2020, Sonai was joined by City of Olean officials to cut the ribbon on the $1.7 million JMH Wilmot Cancer Institute Oncology Outpatient Clinic and Chemotherapy Infusion Center at 1504 West State Street. It has been a privilege to work alongside such caring and professional people at JMH, Sonai said in reflecting on her career. I am proud to have served this community and will remember the relationships with both patients and colleagues fondly. I have witnessed courage, resilience, and hope in ways that have shaped me not only as a physician, but as a person. Sonai, who first arrived in the Twin Tiers area to serve patients at Bradford Regional Medical, earned her medical degree from Baramji Gigi Boy Medical College in India and a master's degree from Roswell Park Cancer Institute in Buffalo. She completed her residency in internal medicine at Millard Fillmore Hospital in Buffalo, followed by a fellowship in medical oncology at Roswell Park. Among her professional accolades are being named annually to America's top oncologists by Consumers Research Council of America since 2007, and in 1996, she received the American Society of Clinical Oncology Merit Award for her research in new drug development. JMH Wilmot Clinics in Olean and Wellsville continue to be served by Dr. Karen Ramakrishna, who joined the Oncology and Hematology Department in October 2024. He earned his medical degree at St. John's Medical in Indiana and did his internal medicine residency at SUNY Upstate Medical University in Syracuse, where he serves as an assistant professor of clinical medicine in the Department of Medicine, Hematology, and Oncology. He completed a fellowship in hematology and medical oncology at the University of Minnesota Medical School, and he is a board certified in internal medicine by the American Board of Internal Medicine. Home eligible in hematology and oncology. Meanwhile, Olean General's Hospital, Berry Street Health Center, and on Berry Street also provides medical oncology and hematology services, while the Mildred Milliman Radiation Medicine Center at Buffalo Street offers radiation therapy for prostate, breast, head and neck, lung, colorectal, skin, and brain tumors. However, radiation therapy is temporarily paused to upgrade the facility's linear accelerator, which was expected to be operational in May. Bradford Regional Medical Center also offers cancer care and hematology services, including chemotherapy, immunotherapy, blood transfusions, and bone marrow biopsies. OGH and BRMC, both Kaleida Health facilities, have indicated that their oncology services will transition to Kaleida Health Cancer Care from Roswell Park in March. You're listening to readings of articles and features from the Olean Times-Herald on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. SBU Mass for Father James Vacco, former St. Bonaventure Parish pastor, a Mass for Father James Vacco, OFM, former pastor at St. Bonaventure Parish in Allegheny, will be celebrated at 7 p.m. Thursday in the St. Bonaventure University Chapel. Father Jim passed away Friday, December 19th of 2025. A 1976 alum of St. Bonaventure, Vacco joined the Friars after graduating. A longtime member of the theology department at St. Bonaventure, he was pastor of St. Bonaventure Parish from 2011 until August of 2022. Born December 28, 1954, in Buffalo, to Vito and Lucy Vacco, James attended Immaculate Conception School in Eden, and he graduated from St. Francis High School in Athol Springs. He earned a graduate degree from Washington Theological Union in 1982. Vacco entered the Order of Friars Minor in Brookline, Massachusetts, June 23rd of 1977, and made his first profession there the following year, on June 10, 1978. His initial role was providing summer assistance in Croghan, Lewis County, in 1978. In 1979, while at St. Patrick's in Buffalo, he spent a year training as a chaplain student at Erie City Medical. Afterwards, he began an internship as an alcohol rehabilitation counselor at St. Joseph Addiction Treatment and Recovery Center in Saranac Lake. He took his solemn vows in New York City on June 20, 1981, and was ordained as a priest in Silver Spring, Maryland on May 16, 1982, during which time he began his service in Croghan, first as a deacon intern and then as an associate pastor. He described the time in his native New York as his first love. He later moved to Buffalo to join the faculty at Bishop Tyman High School until 1985. The next 7 years, he served as parochial vicar at Holy Angels Catholic Church in Buffalo, and later spent 3 years as guardian and pastor at Our Lady Queen of Peace in West Milford, New Jersey. That was from 1995-2022. His ministry touched many lives across Western New York while serving the people of God in a variety of roles: chaplain at the Newman Center at SUNY Fredonia campus, campus minister and adjunct professor at St. Bonaventure. Next, from the Olean Times-Herald, Isabella Memorial Blood Drives are coming up. January is National Blood Donor Month, and folks can help give the gift of life to start the new year by signing up to donate blood at one of the three upcoming Isabella Memorial Blood Drives in the Olean area. Blood is needed for patients of all ages and medical needs, from a young child with a rare blood disorder, a family member fighting cancer, or a friend involved in a car accident. The American Red Cross and Hearts for Isabella partner together regularly for memorial blood drives, and the nonprofit group says it's proud to help these local, much-related blood donation efforts. Schedule an appointment to give blood at one of these special blood drives. Monday from noon to 5 at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church, 109 South Berry Street. January 23rd from 1 to 5 p.m., Olean YMCA, 1101 Wayne Street. January 28th, noon to 6 p.m., St. Bonaventure University, Francis Hall. Schedule an appointment at redcrossblood.org. And look for the Hearts of Isabella. It was created in loving memory of Isabella Annalise Dombrowski of Olean in an effort to help children in the region and to raise awareness about congenital heart disease. In December, the organization completed its annual collaboration with the Grinch to help bring toys, hope, and the meaning of Christmas to those who need it most, including children receiving care at Golisano Children's Hospital in Rochester, where little Bella received care 6 years ago before she passed away as an infant due to CHD. The How the Grinch Stole Christmas event, which also featured Elsa and Olaf of Disney's Frozen and SpongeBob to collect new toys, was held at Raymore and Flanagan Furniture and their mattress store on West State Street, with toys delivered to the Children's Hospital as well as to families in need to give them a brighter Christmas. The annual drive has helped more than 400 children and families since 2021. Meanwhile, the Red Cross in Western New York says it's teetering on a blood shortage this winter, which could lead to a disruption in life-saving care. In addition to the blood drives already mentioned, donors are urged to make an appointment to give blood or platelets by appointment or at several other blood drives in January. Donors with type O, A negative, and B negative blood are especially needed. Make an appointment by visiting redcrossblood.org, downloading the Red Cross Blood Donor app, or call 800-RED-CROSS. For the seventh year, The Red Cross and the National Football League are partnering in January for National Blood Donor Month to urge individuals to kick off 2026 with a blood donation. As a thank you to donors, those who give through January 25th will be entered for a chance to win a trip to Super Bowl 60 in Santa Clara, California. More details, visit redcrossblood.org. Upcoming blood donation opportunities include in Cattaraugus County, Franklinville, January 16th, from 1 to 5:30 p.m. at the Franklinville Fire Hall, 75 North Main Street. Salamanca, January 23rd, from 1 to 6 p.m., Our Lady of Peace Holy Cross Church, 274 Broad Street. In Allegheny County, in Cuba, Thursday, 11 to 4, First Baptist Church on 17th South Street. In Wellsville, Friday, from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., the Wellsville Bible Church, 2908 Andover Road. And January 23rd, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., the American Legion Post, 702 at 23 Jefferson Street. This next story from Salamanca, the weather is right, but the Bill Flanagan Memorial Ice Pond at the end of Fawn Avenue is not open yet for skating this winter. City of Salamanca officials said Monday that the plans to install an artificial rink on the north end of the property and open the natural ice pond on the south end are still in the works, but skaters are being asked to stay patient for a few more weeks. Mayor Sandra Magiria said some of the equipment for the rink has been delivered, but they're still waiting for the fencing to go around the rink, as well as some other pieces. Once we get the deliveries, we're going to set up an install time, said Rob Carpenter, Department of Public Works superintendent. He said once the rink is installed, they'll have a better idea of when it can be opened for skating. Concerning the natural pond, Carpenter said DPW crews have not had the time to prep the rink yet due to the focus on plowing and snow removal in recent weeks. Everything is at a halt until we get the equipment in and have the chance to go up to the back side and see if it's even going to work, he said. Meanwhile, the city was awarded $587,129 to help build a new chalet at the ice pond, featuring a skate rental area, concessions, accessible restrooms, and a heated gathering space. Magiria said receiving this grant is a big plus for the city. She said they plan to begin discussing the design of the chalet in the coming weeks and hope to see the project underway in the spring. Just a reminder, your favorite content from the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, always available via podcast on your favorite podcast platforms, and as a bonus, download our free app in the Play Store as well. Next, from the Olean Times-Herald, the Heart Comfort House of Allegheny County, inspired by two mothers. They never dreamed it would be successful, as it is, but never doubted the generosity of the people of Allegheny County and the clubs, organizations, businesses, and individuals of Wellsville. During the first decade of the 21st century, longtime Wellsville residents, Dave and Janice Porter, like many of their peers, faced the dilemma of dealing with an aging and ill parent. Dave's mother, not wanting to spend her final days in a nursing home, was living in a comfort house in Wayland. "I didn't know what a comfort house was," Dave said. "I've never heard of such a thing." At that time in the county, there was hospice care of Allegheny County, which provided nursing care for patients in their own homes 2 to 3 times a week. After Dave's mother's passing, the Porters decided more than sporadic nursing care was needed. They decided to create a comfort house to serve county residents. Both the Porters have a long history of community involvement and service and know how to get started on their new project. Yet, they had no idea how successful that project would become 14 years later. On January 17th, the Heart Comfort House will celebrate 14 years of service to the community and giving comfort care to more than 300 people who are at the end of their lives. The Comfort House of Allegheny County received its official nonprofit 501c3 status in 2009. The Porters had gathered like-minded friends from both the medical community and the community at large to establish a facility to provide 24-hour care free of charge to local people who were terminally ill and living the last 3 months of their lives. The fledgling group was looking around the county for a house to rehabilitate for that purpose when they got their biggest surprise. Christy Hart, who had lost her mother, Mary Ellen Hart, in the summer of 2009, had heard about the project to create a comfort house in the county. She talked with her 9 brothers and sisters, and they decided to donate the house where they had been raised by Mary Ellen to the project. The Hart House, located at 141 East State Street in the village of Wellsville. Mary Ellen Hart had been a registered nurse who worked at Jones Memorial Hospital and as a private nurse, teaching her children the value of helping others. After 2.5 years of renovation work, with help from Alfred State College students and grants, donations, countless fundraisers, and benefits, Hart Comfort House of Allegheny County opened its doors January 1, 2012. The donation of the Hart House saved us thousands of dollars, and along with the grants, the community stepped up, as they always do and continue to do so. This is a very generous community, Porter said. Hart Comfort House is dedicated to Mary Ellen and Gerald C. Hart. Since it started, there have been 3 directors, Scott Swift, Rachel Clark, and currently Melissa Grantier. Over the decade, hundreds of volunteers have been trained to provide care to the terminally ill. Volunteers also served in other capacities. Porter says the average age of the volunteers is 70. The former coordinator of volunteers, Cheryl Van Castle, said, "Some people may unknowingly assume that an end-of-life facility will be a somber place. The Hart Comfort House is anything but. This is one of the happiest, most joyful places in the county." Dave Porter said, "I always felt that if we built it, they would come and the community would help us. But we never dreamed it would become as successful as it is." He serves as the chairman of the board of directors for the Hart Comfort House. Janice Porter served as the treasurer of the board, which also includes Cheryl Jackson as vice president, Nora Hart Burdick, Joe Felsen, Sue Feldbauer, RN, Joe Fasno, Angelo Rossington, Eileen Schaffner, Taria Soule, and Dan Woolston as board members. Since opening, Hart Comfort House has provided a 24-hour warm and compassionate care and support to more than 340 residents and their families and friends, based solely on need, regardless of age, sex, race, religion, or sexual orientation. While Allegheny County residents are its priority, other applicants are considered. The goal of the Hart Comfort House is to provide a comprehensive and compassionate 2-bed home for the dying. It is a true home-like atmosphere, not a healthcare facility or a hospital. We ascribe to the hospice philosophy of care that states that all persons have the right to die with dignity, to have enhanced quality of life, and to be as comfortable as possible. The residents' primary care physicians may continue to provide for patients, or one of Hart House's medical directors may assume this role. Another main goal is to give the resident family and friends the needed support through the bereavement process. For more information about Hart Comfort House, including applications for care and for volunteers and for donations and support, go to the Hart Comfort House of Allegheny County website. And another note from Allegheny County, the Allegheny County reports planning bill scams. If you receive a bill for Allegheny County Planning Services, report it as a scam. Allegheny County Planning Department officials reported they were informed of a statewide scam involving fake bills for planning services. Fraudulent invoices are being sent to various groups, including landowners, developers, municipalities, and consultants, claiming those individuals owe the department for services. The department noted that, under state law, the department does not charge for planning board reviews or other services. Anyone receiving such an invoice should contact planning officials, 585-268-7472, to verify the authenticity of the invoice. Officials also noted that the domain on the email address will always end in .gov from official county emails, and if .com or another domain is seen, the email is not from the county and may be a scam. Similar scams from alleged government sources have also been reported in December. The Olean Post Office reported text message-based scams involving fees, while EasyPass has also reported a large number of scams. Recipients are encouraged to not reply to unsolicited messages from unknown senders that request payments or personal info. Messages received via text can be sent to cell carriers by forwarding text to 7726, while email messages can be reported as junk through the email provider. And on a fun note from the Olean Times, Sarah, the $1.5 million winning scratch-off sold at the Bradford Unimart. Local residents, check all your pockets, wallets, and glove compartments. A $1.5 million winning scratch-off lottery ticket was sold in the city of Bradford. The Pennsylvania Lottery announced Tuesday that a cash spectacular scratch-off top prize ticket was sold at the Exxon Unimart at 76 Chestnut Street, which will receive a 10 grand bonus for selling the winning ticket. Unfortunately, a $1.5 million scratch-off prize does not equal a $1.5 million payout. Federal law requires the lottery system to withhold 24% upfront, and Pennsylvania applies its 3.07% state income tax to lottery winnings, so you can always count on the tax man. Depending on the winner's total income for the year, additional federal tax may be owed at filing. In most cases, a top prize of this size nets the winner a little under $1 million after all required taxes are accounted for, but it still amounts to a pretty nice payout. Scratch-off prizes expire 1 year from the game's end sale date, posted at PALottery.com. Winners should sign the back of their ticket and call the PA Lottery at 800-692-7481. Cash Spectacular is a $30 game offering top prizes of $1.5 million. Details about the game are available at PALottery.com and through Lottery's official app. Scratch-offs are distributed at random, meaning the lottery and its retailers do not know where winning tickets will be sold, learning the location only after a prize has been claimed. The PA Lottery, which operates as a bureau within the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue, remains the only state lottery to direct all proceeds to programs that benefit older residents. Since ticket sales began in 1972, it has contributed more than $37.2 billion to transportation, care services, prescription assistance, and local programs, including senior centers and meals. County-level prize totals, our funding for programs that support older Pennsylvanians, can be found on the winners and benefits pages at PALottery.com. And of course, rules, chances of winning, and information about traditional and online games, always available at PALottery.com. Some police blotter reports from Salamanca Police. December 23rd, 7:10 p.m., Brian Acosta, 39, of Salamanca, charged with second-degree burglary, a Class C felony, third-degree coercion, and fourth-degree criminal mischief, Class A misdemeanors. Acosta is being held pending arraignment. December 24th, 1:52 p.m., Jeremy V. Buchholz, age 49, of Salamanca, was arrested on a bench warrant issued out of Cattaraugus County Court. Buchholz was turned over to the Cattaraugus County Sheriff's Office. December 24th, 2:38 p.m., Daryl D. Gotson, age 54, of Buffalo, charged with first-degree criminal contempt, a Class E felony, and third-degree criminal trespass, a Class B misdemeanor. Gostin was additionally arrested on a bench warrant. He was held pending arraignment. December 31st at 2:25 p.m., Elizabeth A. Nibbs, 65, of Great Valley, was charged with second-degree aggravated unlicensed operation of a motor vehicle, an unclassified misdemeanor, and an improper left turn, an infraction. Nibbs was released with an appearance ticket. Jessica L. Newart, age 43, of Salamanca, charged with third-degree aggravated unlicensed operation of a motor vehicle and operating a motor vehicle while registration is suspended or revoked, both unclassified misdemeanors, and also operating a motor vehicle without insurance, which is an infraction. You've been listening to a reading of articles and features from the January 7th issue of the Olean Times-Herald. Your reader has been Chuck Stevens. Thank you for listening.